who are desperately ill, who are looking for their medicine.
By the way, do you have any marijuana for me tonight, Kate?
funny. but I still get calls on I wouldn't say on a daily basis, but definitely on a weekly basis from people who have nowhere to go. And it's just pathetic. You know, it's just another one of those, you know, city council window dressing things that is meaningless other than to make them look like they're good guys. You know? So, at any rate, I'm probably picking up other people's time. So
you're doing a fine job.
Right.
Appreciate you taking the time. I know you're swamped with stuff. Again, we're talking with Kate Well, a local civil rights attorney who is signed on board the Norse versus Santa Cruz City Council case,
and get involved, people. You know, I mean, you know, if you don't do it, nobody's going to do it. And you know, don't keep thinking, well, just because of somebody else who's getting the brunt of this, that you won't be next. It's you know, I hate to say it, but you know, it's a situation that's very, very similar to Nazi Germany. We now have a national identification system through Social Security. We have you know, eroding civil rights to the point where we're in big trouble, and people need to speak up, and people need to, you know, shout out that I saw a bumper sticker today, and I just really applauded them. Freedom is a higher good than safety.
Hear, hear.
Freedom is a higher good
than
safety.
Carry on, and
right.
Hey, keep carrying on, Kate.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Well, it's little after 7, it's Bathrop Spears Broadsides, and the phone lines are open at 427-3772. Hi, you're on Free Radio.
Hi, I just wanted to say that if anybody wanted to write up a declaration about this abuses at the city council level, that they could contact me. I'm Becky Johnson.
Oh, well, thank you, Becky.
Yeah.
What, want to give out your number?
Yeah, sure. I'm at 429-8529.
429-8529. That's if you've seen anything at city council, and it can be the last 2 or 3 years, actually.
Yeah, I'm willing to help write up declarations for some people. If there's an issue that concerns them and that they want to write up a declaration, I'll help them do that.
That's really appreciated. Thanks a lot, Becky.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Say. You don't have to do it alone. You can do it with help. And the time to do it is now. This is the time when the matter is going into federal court. City Council has, frankly, fucked up. They've, on open video camera, arrested someone for an innocent gesture and then lied about what it was, saying it was disrupting a council meeting. They've had me charged criminally with disrupting a public assembly. And then, of course, the charge was quietly dropped. Councilmember Kennedy tried to succeeded in sanitizing the record at City Council 2 weeks later by eliminating all mention of the arrest from the minutes when it happened, in spite of my attempt to correct the minutes. City Council, however, is going to be forced to go to court to deal with this. It has to go to court. It will be subpoenaed into court. It already has been subpoenaed into court. So now is the time for you to get on record your concerns that will enable the court to say, we're going to issue a restraining order against the city council and stop them from practices that violate the First Amendment. It's a very important moment. You can be a part of it. You can help contribute to it. Give a call to Becky Johnson if you want help with filling out a declaration, 429-8529. 429-8529. You can leave me a message with Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom at 423-HUFF, 423-4833. So it's the time is now. The time is growing short because we have to have those declarations in a matter of days. So please call now if you can. 429-8529, 423-HUFF. And if you want to be a part of the show, give a call to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 427-3772. That's your opportunity to be on air. And I was actually, before this all began, I was reading a letter from former council member Riley. And it's kind of, it's just sort of depressing because it shows you how council members turn 180 degrees around. And I told council member Riley to read her letter. I ran into her in the library yesterday publicly so that she can explain how her position changed and why. And I have given her an opportunity to do so on the air tonight if she chooses to do so. And of course it appears, although we do only have one phone line into the studio, it's possible she's trying to call and hasn't been able to reach us. But Councilman Riley, if for some reason you've been unable to call in, please call 423-HUFF, and on the next show I will certainly let the community know that you made a good faith attempt to reach this program and answer the concerns that I have, and I think others in the community have as well. Again, the letter reads as follows. 27th of January, 1999. Dear Mayor Byers, Vice Mayor Sugar, and Council Members Rotkin, Matthews, Hernandez, Fitzmaurice, and Crone. I've been trying to educate myself about the current uproar concerning the sleeping ban. I want to understand why so many appear to be frightened by the idea of allowing people to sleep outside. As I have spoken with fellow residents, homeowners, parents, and merchants, I've heard the word sleep mentioned very seldom. The words I hear are drugs, needles, excrement, AIDS, rape, and dumping ground. The main areas of concern seem to be that relaxing any part of the law will make our neighborhoods more dangerous and dirty, our downtown less welcoming, as well as unhealthy. I think this fear is exacerbated by the fact that most people are unclear as to what is actually being proposed. At the same time, it is winter, and as a person who walks to work most mornings about 4:30 a.m., I can tell you that it is cold, cold, cold. It takes me about 5 minutes to walk to work. By the time I get there, my hands are cold through my gloves, my toes are cold, my little cheeks are bright pink. I think we have an emergency here, and I would like to see you take immediate steps to protect all of our residents by, 1, allowing people to bundle up, lie down, and sleep in non-residential, non-business areas, 2, forbidding people to bundle up and lie down in business and residential areas, and 3, instructing the police to tell people who to do that they must move to a non-residential, non-business area immediately. Sure, people deserve to sleep, but the thing is they must sleep, and they will sleep. If we don't give people a place where they can sleep, they will still sleep. Right now, they are sleeping around homes and businesses. So many are scared that if you relax the ban, things will get worse. If someone looking for a place to sleep knows that he or she will be hassled no matter where he or she chooses to lie down, then why not look for a place in a neighborhood behind a bush where the cops might not notice? If, however, I were looking for a place to sleep and I knew that if I slept near a house, I would not make it through the night without being rousted, whereas if I slept away from residential and business areas, I would not be bothered. I would choose the option of sleeping where I would not be awakened by the police. Show us a plan right now. Then you will have the time to address the broader, thornier problem of the camping ban. I will be happy to talk to my neighbors and other business owners if you think it will help, but please, come on, do something about this. Sincerely, Emily. And then underneath, Emily Riley. 27th of January, 1999, letter to the Santa Cruz City Council from then private citizen, now council member, Emily Riley. What happened, Emily? Phone lines are open. 427-3772.
Spike Green.
Kathy Dugan, you're on Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Hello, hello. Hi, Robert.
How's it going, Kathy? We're
okay.
We're on the air with you. You are, of course, famous in some small way, and I guess really I'm perhaps not terribly happy about your fame. You have you called me up about 3 weeks ago from jail. Twice. You were actually being held in jail, as I understood it from the story you told me. Officers Seeley and Headley took you, your vehicles, and your dogs into custody. It sounds like the dogs may be back, and you sound like you're at liberty. You want to give us some of the update?
Yeah. I was being contained at the jail for flipping tickets. For actually, they were warrants.
And these were warrants, but not for, you know, murder and perhaps, I don't know, breaking windows or creating a public nuisance. These were for actually sleeping?
For sleeping. That's what they were for.
And you're a person who lives in a vehicle?
Yes, I do. I live in a motor home.
And you, in fact, were working with the group Homes on Wheels at one point about a year ago before they put up those no parking signs in Harvey West?
Yes. In fact, we're still, right now we're trying to get back to, Wheels on...
Homes on Wheels?
Homes on Wheels back again.
Uh-huh.
We're trying to get that coordinated again with Kathy Massey and myself and a few other people.
Uh-huh. And, tell me a little bit about this incident where you were actually... Officer Seeley came, and this is the Homeless Resources Center officer, the Homeless Services Center, the policeman paid specifically to liaison with the homeless community. What was that about? Why didn't he just give you a citation and say, come to court? Why did he take your vehicle? What was...
Denny had got a ticket for driving without a license.
Uh-huh.
And so it was, he had an outstanding warrant. They came, and they came to actually arrest him.
Now,
for a captain ticket and also for not appearing in court.
Well, why did they arrest you?
Well, I had two outstanding warrants for my captain tickets that I did not appear in court.
Well, now, were you driving around illegally? Were you illegally parked?
Well, actually, no, we were just parked.
So you were legally parked. This is in the Harvey West area?
Yes, it was.
So you're one of the few hardy homeless people that has not fled?
No, we have not.
Now, is there actually very few people there now, or are people returning?
Actually, there isn't hardly anybody anymore.
So have you received any night visits from the Ku Klux Klan or old Daddy Hubbard from the Harvey West Association?
Well, actually, we've met up with a nice older officer, actually he was pretty cool. He was pretty, you know, lenient. He let us talk. He got out of his car and he talked to us for a while. And then the next morning, this was maybe about 9 o'clock, the lady that comes around to give the tickets for the parking.
Mm-hmm.
I guess she's the one that gives the, puts the little orange tags on the cars.
Mm-hmm.
She came and she said, well, she was really nice too, but she said that, well, you know, you can't be in this area.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to say, well, you know what, this is kind of crazy because, you know, why would they put a homeless shelter someplace where they just can't provide a place for people to have campers or have motorhomes or even cars? You know, if we can't park there, or we can't be in this area, why would they have the homeless shelter there? I mean, it just don't make sense.
And the answer, of course, is you have to ask Councilmember Riley, who put up the no parking 5 a.m. to 7 a.m. signs in the Harvey West.
Yeah, exactly. So she was really nice, and all she said was, please be in this area tomorrow. But I guess the next morning, she got Kathy Massey, but she didn't catch us. I guess we just kind of bypassed her or something on the way or something. Or maybe she just acted like she didn't see us. I don't know.
Was this before or after you got taken to jail on your vehicle impounded?
After. This was about 2 days ago.
So we're actually talking about your more recent struggles.
Yeah, the night before we got harassed by the officer. He said he was going to let us sleep. Now, maybe about 2-3 days before that, I think it was last Saturday, an officer came around and he told us that we cannot sleep at night, that we have to sleep during the day.
Really? You want the name of the officer who told you this interesting information?
I'm not really sure. We didn't get his card because every time we ask for his card, they get really upset. We've had an incident where a lady officer came. I believe it's the one, the little short, dark-haired lady, the young girl works on the mall, Pacific Mall. I'm sure you're familiar with her.
Not sure.
She came. And she proceeded to knock on our motorhome really, really hard, which I don't think is right because they wouldn't want us beating on their cars.
Mm-hmm.
So have a little respect, you know, just have a little respect, you know, for our vehicles. And she said that she would allow us to sleep at night and that she would be back at 3 o'clock in the morning. So Danny said, well, you know what, I'll be awake. And she said, okay, well, I'll be back. But she never came back.
And were you awake at 3 o'clock? Was he awake at 3?
We were awake at 3 o'clock.
Well, now that's a good homeless person. Make sure you stay up all night and then sleep all day.
Yeah, exactly.
Uh-huh.
And then we get this, okay, well, next day the police officer comes and says, you can't sleep during the day.
By the way, my suggestion to you, Kathy, is the next time they try this, not only get clear documentation as to, you know, who they are and keep a record of it. You seem to have a pretty clear memory, but writing it down is good. But also ask the officer where she or he suggests you go to legally sleep. And
we've asked them that.
And what do they say?
Well, they have no idea. They say that's part of the homeless shelter. That's something that the homeless shelter has to provide us with the information, which they do not.
Well, no. In fact, they cannot be harassing you if they don't have alternatives for you. That's a constitutional violation and also gives you the basis for winning any case with a necessity defense. At least that's what was found in Southern California by public defender Glenn Maurer and taken as far as an appeals court and successfully used. It hasn't yet been found in Santa Cruz. They're appealing the Camp Paradise cases using the same necessity defense. Camp Paradise, by the way, has called for, or some members of Camp Paradise have called for a broad front against the sleeping ban to happen at the upcoming Right to Sleep Summit. Are you and Homes on Wheels going to be at that summit?
We are going to try.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to try as hard as we can because we have, as you know, a few little animals. And it's really very hard for us to do anything, especially if we can't find a babysitter.
You know, what you might want, you mean a doggy sitter?
Oh, yeah, a doggy sitter. That's what we need, a doggy sitter.
Well, you know, I think that you're not going to be the only homeless participant or a would-be participant concerned about this. I know that we have people coming from as far away as Seattle, Washington, Portland, Oregon, Santa Barbara,
wow.
And they're not going to leave their dogs behind.
Because, oh,
you know,
not. Oh, okay. Well, then I guess we'll have a...
You have to have some sort of...
party here.
Have a doggy party. Yeah, very good idea. This, again, I want to remind you, this starts on, well, 5 o'clock on Saturday.
Okay.
At 1135 North Branson Forte, which is a couple blocks from the freeway. It's off of Water Street, if you come up Water. You know where North Branson Forte is, probably.
Yeah.
It's the house of Thomas Levitt. Again, it's an organizing session for the summer. We're trying to see if we have enough activists who actually want to start a campaign against the sleeping ban, which will not just be me putting out my flyers and you getting hauled away in the middle of the night,
yeah,
but will actually be enough people to in houses and on the streets who will together be able to change the situation so that unless the city responds, it'll be a national disgrace, or if not an international disgrace.
Oh, okay.
So that is what we don't know if it's, we have that critical mass of people. We don't know who's going to be there in the summer, and I know you yourself have become discouraged at times, right, so much so that you wanted to leave the town, leave the area, and understandably so. So, but I mean, you are definitely invited. I'd love to see Kathy Massey and Homes on Wheels and old Ed Meneses show up as well. And even those pooches in the back, you know.
Yeah, she's outside. She just got up, jumped out the window, so she's all happy.
Well, there you are. She's heard the news of the right to sleep summit, and, you know, she can't wait.
Oh, really? Because it disturbs them, too, because, you know, we have to leave the TV on. You know, that looks, I mean, it makes that we are asleep, but we're not asleep, you know.
I see.
And
so you're...
And it disturbs everybody.
Wait a minute. Let me get Officer Seeley on the other line so I can tell him this.
No.
Actually, there's no need to. The police often listen into this show, so is there anything you would like to say to the Santa Cruz Police Department? Well, I think what I would like to say is it sounds like you two are just trying to live, you and your dogs.
Yeah.
And that you are... Are these complaints by the police the result of citizen complaints? I mean, are people... Are Plantronics coming down and complaining?
They say it's Costco's. Most of them are the Parks and Recs.
Really?
Are nice Parks and Recs people.
What is their complaint?
Well, most of all, that we're taking their spaces, their parking spaces.
And how many parking spaces do your vehicles occupy?
You really want me to tell you? Three.
Well, that may be, but it's three spaces. But you move every 72 hours, right?
We move twice a day.
You move twice a day, so you move every 12 hours.
Yeah, we move. We move in the morning.
Why do you move so frequently? You just like to move around, or?
Well, actually, they told us. Well, okay, where we park through the day, we park where the thing is that says from
5 to 7 a.m. no parking?
Yeah, no parking.
The Emily Riley, no parking.
We park there during the day, and at night we have to find a place where we can sleep.
Right, because then otherwise you'd have to move at 5 a.m.
Yeah, so what we do is we go at night, and we park where we're going to park for the night, and then in the morning we move, so this way they can't say that we've been there all night, and half the time we park someplace where it's a little more light or secure, you know, where there's, you know, where we know that we're not going to bother anybody, or they're not going to bother us, you know.
Now, you mentioned Kathy Massey does this. Are there other people in their vehicles who are doing the same thing?
Yes, there's Brad, and there's another person. I don't know who this person is. I know it's a couple with a little boy. They live in their motorhome.
And
that's about all there is left over here.
Now, Don Hubbard, as you may know, has put out a rather nasty editorial in the Sentinel in which he says that you people are the cause of feces and needles and trouble and all kinds of stuff. I hope I'm remembering his letter properly. It was a rather strong thing which says just ban overnight parking for all RVs in Santa Cruz. What do you think of that idea?
I think it's terrible. I mean, where in the heck are we? Where are we doing our feces when we have our motorhome has a bathroom? We do not use the facilities nowhere except for our own bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
And we go to Capitola to the park to dump all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So we are not bothering them. We're not, you know, we're not causing them any harm. I mean, we're not. So I don't know where the feces was coming from, unless it's maybe people.
It sounds like a lot of shit to me, man, I'll tell you.
Exactly. It's a lot of shit.
What about, you know, the original reason for these no parking signs was that they were going to be cleaning the streets every day. Is that what they do? Do they clean the
Well, actually, you know, I've seen the sweeper do his job maybe once or twice at 7 o'clock in the morning, but not very often. I mean, I think that was just an excuse of so they could...
So in the last couple of weeks, how many times would you say the streets have been cleaned there? Would you be able to testify to that clearly?
Maybe twice.
So it's about once a week?
Yeah, maybe once a week.
And could they be doing it when you're not looking? I mean, maybe they come in and when you're not noticing.
I don't think so.
I see. Well, I mean, you do say you move away from those spaces, so it's possible
Actually, we move here at 6:30. I mean, you know, we're supposed to be here at 7 o'clock. But we're usually here between 6:45 and 7 o'clock.
Your vehicles were impounded and your dogs were impounded. How much money did it take you to get those vehicles out?
It cost us, actually, we got away with it real cheap because our vehicles were too big. And they wanted them out of the tow yard because it was too big.
Mm-hmm.
So they let us $400. Out of the yard.
Uh-huh.
But then between the yard and the police station, it cost us $130 because they decided actually what's his name, Headley?
Officer Headley, yeah.
Officer Headley was in the police station when we went in there to get the release, and he took the papers. He was really rude. He took the papers. He took them back in the back office, and he was back there for a while. Then all of a sudden, he comes back and they told us, oh, there's a $130 fee, which they told us before that there was no fee.
Hmm.
But he decided, what happened was they thought that we were not going to be able to get our vehicles out.
Mm-hmm.
So he thought that when we came to get the release, to get our property out, that was going to be at the end of it, and they were going to have our vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when we come back from the tow yard from finding out how much it was going to cost, and between the tow yard and the police station, that's when he took the papers. He took the papers from the lady in the front receptionist, took the papers, took them back, and was back there probably about 15, 20 minutes, and then they decided they were going to pay, we had to pay the $130 because my mom was with me, and my mom was already trying to help me already, and then she was really upset because...
What was the $130 for, Kathy?
That was their fee, their storage fee, or whatever, the
towing fee? Because you said you already paid the...
Really fee. It's the police release fee.
Sort of the special fuck the homeless fee?
I guess that's what it is.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm not clear. Officer Headley was one of the two officers who originally arrested you?
Yes, it was, and I gave him a good fight for his money.
Are you saying you resisted arrest?
Oh, yeah. I don't know why I didn't arrest.
Resist arrest?
Yeah.
Were there any charges pending?
He actually apologized to me. He said, he says, I forgive you for kicking me, because I did give him a good kick in the leg. I mean, I wasn't going to go happy.
He forgave you, but it sounds like he charged you $130.
Yeah, exactly.
I see.
Him and Officer Steely did kind of rough me up a little bit. I mean, not rough me up, I roughed myself up a little bit, but, you know, it was like, for a week, my poor little wrist was sore from the handcuffs.
But it sounds like this is the basis for a civil lawsuit to me. I mean, I don't know, because it depends, and you don't want to make any damaging admissions here, but I hope that you bring all this information to the Right to Sleep Summit the weekend after next, again, May 3rd through 5th, and
okay.
Just come on in, park your vehicle, and I invite other people to give a call who are interested in learning more about this,
mm-hmm.
to call 425-3646 to get more information, 425-3646. And, we've been talking with Kathy, it's Dugan, is it not?
Grego.
Whoops.
Dugan?
What Where am I getting that from? Maybe it's from Mr. Dillon. Maybe I'm thinking of Gunsmoke.
Maybe a new last name.
Hey, it's the famous Grego woman who I apparently have forgotten already. You're at liberty. I'm glad to hear you're out on the streets. Your vehicle is back. But again, I guess this could happen to you at any time again, right? I mean, they can...
Yes, it could.
So if you are awake at night, and if you are asleep at night, it's kind of hard to get that right, you know, because you would think you would sleep at night, but no, you have to actually walk around like a zombie all night to meet, or else be awake all night to meet the requirements of the Santa Cruz sleeping ban.
Yes, we do.
Well, please come and talk about this at the, at the Right to Sleep Summit, and I will hope to hear from you again, let us know if anything more happens to you out there.
Okay, I sure will.
Thanks a lot.
Uh-huh.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
So it's still happening out there, folks. People are getting their vehicles towed. They're getting taken to jail for sleeping. And it's being called warrants now, but it's the same thing. It is trying to live, trying to survive in Santa Cruz in as best you can, and having that essential right pulled out from under you by the Santa Cruz City Council, by the Santa Cruz Police Department, by the Harvey West Association, the Harvey West Business or Residential Association, Area Association, I think it's called, by the Santa Cruz Sentinel, by this coalition of people who are well-to-do, relatively well-to-do, and have forgotten what it means to be poor. And forgotten what it means to need to have resources. And of course, it's very easy to forget, as we heard from this letter from Emily Riley, how one day she knows, even though she's a baker, this is a woman who owns Riley's Bakery, or Emily's Bakery, I guess it's called, on Laurel and Mission, and, you know, ran for city council after doing a lot of work as a homeless activist and being in fasts and to set up a different system where the sleeping ban repeal initiative would have passed, which said you can't sleep in residential areas, you can't sleep in business areas, perhaps you can't sleep in beachfront areas. This was the initiative that I was supporting four or five years ago. But you can sleep elsewhere, provided you're not violating other laws. You can't, provided you're not littering, provided you're not blocking the sidewalk, provided you're not creating a public nuisance. And there has to be some such ordinance. And there have to be campgrounds and places for people to sleep, but the city council has turned a deaf ear to all of this, and that's why we need essentially to organize the community and to do the kind of protests that make it a top priority, that put the city council in a position where it can no longer ignore the issue, as it has so well for the last two decades. This is Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. You're listening to the last 20 minutes of Bathrop's Piers Broadsides, Civil Rights on the Streets, from your old pal Uncle Robert here, Bathrop's Pierre Robert Norse. I came to the studio this evening with some interesting stuff from 5 years ago, 6 years ago actually, 1996 in the fall, 5.5 years ago. Free Radio Santa Cruz had just been had the building it was lived in torn out from under it in Campbell Street. And I made a tape for the Free Radio. I believe they were broadcasting out of a bike cart or from another private home, which was not really the regular station. And I ran across a very interesting piece of tape, which kind of shows you how things were under the regime of Mayor Mike Rotkin. And it's important to know this because Rotkin is running again, rumors have it, he hasn't officially declared, for city council, along with Matthews and Byers, probably. Again, these are tired, old, tricky, sophisticated former council members who have shown that they have absolutely no interest in any meaningful changes in basic civil rights restoration for homeless people. In other words, keeping things exactly the way they are, keeping it a crime for homeless people to sleep at night. And under Mike Rotkin, they got an injunction against a protest at City Hall, so that the City Hall protesters were not allowed, for example, to have food at City Hall. They weren't allowed to have signs bigger than 14 inches. If they slept once at night, they would be subject to a penalty of up to 6 months in jail and a $1,000 fine. This is Mayor Mike Rotkin's doing. He initiated this. And he is now an instructor up at UCSC, a lecturer, I believe, who will, almost without a doubt, be running for city council again. In fact, for those who have been urging some of us non-politicals to jump into the city council arena, exposing his bullshit is really almost a good enough reason to do that, except that this man is the fastest talker this side of the Pecos, and I'll tell you, he'll talk you to death. And I'll talk circles around you. Talk circles around me, that's for sure. And I talk pretty fast. Anyway, here's a segment of tape from a man who was injured by officers under the Rodkin regime. I'm going to play a little bit of this, and then I'm going to play a little bit of tape from a fallen sister who died shortly after being a part of the homeless vigil, the 8.5-month-long homeless vigil, or perhaps 7.5-month-long. I always get it confused with an earlier vigil at the City Hall Sleepers protest under Dan Dragon's Heart, Dan Hopkins, who, by the way, has made a declaration about the lawsuits. For all you timid folks or tired folks, give a call to 423-HUFF. Let me know you want to make a declaration on that lawsuit because it's important, and we don't have much time left. But let's hear a little of a sort of a little nostalgia here from 1996. It's in a way, it says, well, times have gotten better, haven't they? I mean, this sounds pretty bad, but it could be that we're just getting fewer reports, and the information isn't getting through to us. I don't know if we can say times are significantly better. Perhaps so in some respects, but the same police officers are still on the force, pretty much, with a few exceptions, and the same council members are running again.
September 11, 1996. Again, I'm continuing a conversation with
Mark Brian Watson.
And Mark, you're telling me, we're continuing the story of how your wrist was broken around an open container ticket.
Yeah, that I didn't sign because it wasn't mine. Anyway, I got the officer's name here. His name is D. Perry.
Officer Perry. Oh, he was a black guy.
Maybe, I'm not too sure. I can't remember.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I cleaned the toilet and the drunk tank, cleaned the window, and sat on the drunk tank toilet. After I cleaned it with my own bare hands, it started to play the drums again. The first two officers that walked in, it sounded good, and I'm just sitting there playing the drums. The next two officers that came in broke my wrist. They did this. Actually, it's not quite broken. It's a compound sprain or something. Here's the from Dominican Hospital.
This is a document for Dominican Hospital, dated August 22nd, 1996. It reads, you have sustained a sprain or bruise. This is an injury to either muscle or ligament tissue, but not involving a fracture of the bone. You need to put the injured area to rest, maybe given a splint or slip. And there's further, it's contact the, it's signed by Joseph D. Lago, M.D.
Okay, here's another one for you. When I went down to get my medicine at Dominican, they wouldn't let me get it, even though I have the prescription and everything, because I was let out of jail that night at 1 o'clock. I have two cards down there because I couldn't do the fingerprints. I couldn't do the fingerprints with my right hand. So at about 10 o'clock, they finally get me out of this little room. They take me up there, and this one officer tried to grab my right wrist and put it on the little fingerprint thing. I said, no. It was swollen up as big as a cantaloupe. And finally, the nurse comes up and says, I think we have a problem here. So they took me to the hospital. They let me out of the hospital at 12. I was in room 11 with this other guy that had to get a catheter on him. They drive me back to the jail. They proceed to let me out of the place, told me I cannot do anything illegal in town. So I had to take a raging piss, so I finally found an open bar, pissed, walked all the way to 7th and Broome because that's the only place I could sleep. The next day, I went back to get my medicine, went down to Dominican, went to about four different rooms, and finally went down to the emergency room, and see that right there?
I see a bump on your left elbow.
Elbow, because the two security officers down in Dominican Hospital emergency room proceeded to drag me out of there and throw me up against the wall.
And what did they say they were doing that for?
Because I wasn't being a gentleman.
And what did they consider your conduct, ungentlemanly?
Yes, because I already had been to like four or five rooms trying to get my medicine, and they kept telling me I can't have it, even though I had all the paperwork right here. And they finally gave me my medicine, and I went back to Boulder Creek that day.
You know the names of the security officers who rammed you against the wall?
No, I don't. One guy was fat, kind of, and the other guy was kind of skinny and old.
Two officers who broke your wrist in jail. Were these deputies or were these police?
They were detention officers, I guess. Police, detention officers, something like that. I don't know. See, I don't have... I gave wearing... I gave her and glasses up because I'm tired of getting knocked off my face. I'm tired of rolling over in bed and crunching and having to go spend $300 more, and I can see pretty good. I mean, when I get up close, I can see.
Your name again is Mark?
Mark Brian Watson.
Mark, you have a phone number that you can be reached at or a contact?
Yes, I do.
And what is that number? I got to go with her right now.
There's two of them. I'll give you my dad's phone number.
Right.
And there's a message machine. That's what I'm waiting for right now.
Do you mind if this goes out over Free Radio Santa Cruz?
No, not at all. In fact, I have... Please play it. I even have the original tape of what I did the next day.
Okay.
All on a tape is stored at the Valley Russo Center.
You can get it. I'll give you my number in case you want it as well.
That'd be good. I need to...
This again?
I can't play guitar, which is my favorite thing. I can't masturbate because I can't do it with my left hand. It just doesn't work.
And it's hard to wipe your butt because the hand you normally use, your right hand, is now is injured.
Right? It's injured. I can't turn it around like this. What's happening right now, my thumb, my opposing thumb, when I press like this, it's just a little harder. It hurts really bad right in here, right below the thumb.
Mark, let me give you this number and thank you and hope we can talk some more.
Yes, most definitely.
So I'm here at the City Hall Sleepout near noon on September 11th, the day after the famous City Council protest, talking to Mama Tama. Hi, Tama.
Hi, how you doing?
You say First Alarm was lurking around all evening for the first time, the security service?
Yes, they were sitting. At the first it became like, it was like three cars, and then it dwindled down to one or a few.
And
they stayed till 6 o'clock in the morning, about...
And what was the point of their being there?
The point of their being there, I've heard that I believed, is that... you're taking out the tree bear of Santa Cruz.
So Andy Crane is here. Are we going to pause briefly?
Sergeant Andy Crane.
Okie dokie. Whatever. California State.
So Andy Crane has arrived. Mm-hmm.
The sergeant like retired with honors a year ago.
He removed immediately. Yeah. Get the warnings on
it.
It'll be removed immediately. If not, I will take it.
Still want people to remove food from the area.
No. Storage of food. I'm telling you, it's a court injunction. It's a storage of food that needs to be removed immediately, or I will take it.
Wait a second. Before you grab anything, let's take things that, you know... Is this kind of the storage of food?
No, that's not food.
That's not
storage of
food. Oh, okay.
This one here?
This is not storage of food. This doesn't look like food.
That does. That
okay,
does.
Okay, wait. Well, we'll get the food out.
The protesters are removing what look like non-food items from a box.
Yeah.
What maybe...
Removed from the site?
Removed from the site?
Yes.
Sergeant Crane is removing food from the site, per the injunction. We've had Mayor Rotkin passing by a moment ago, on his way to eat, no doubt, lunch, probably.
Let's see what's here.
I know you don't care, but I'm telling you that it's donations, and...
This is Thomas' voice. Thomas died half a year later.
I think there's a donation. We could put donations consistently.
Died shortly thereafter.
And we take care of the situation the soonest we can.
So there seems to be a conflict of opinion here.
Only a conflict in your opinion.
One of the protesters says its food was recently donated, and Andy Crane is calling this storage of food. It looks like most of the stuff is not food, Andy. It looks like there may be...
Stuff that he removed was food. The rest of it, those are the items I put up. That looks like garbage.
That does look like garbage to me as well. That's quite correct. But again, treating people like garbage and throwing them out of the city council, as you did David Minton Silva last night, was, I feel, inappropriate and conduct unbecoming a sergeant. What do you have to say about that?
What do I have to say? Keep it out of my face, Robert. You keep it arm's distance away from me.
I'm at arm's distance away from you, Andy, and please don't get violent. I've often regarded you as a sergeant who's worthy of talking to, but...
I'm tired of your manipulations.
Tired of you throwing people out of city council against pillars out there. I'm sure there will be complaints and lawsuits filed. I'm not going to do that. Somebody else will.
Now take a number.
But your rep... Yeah. Well, apparently, you know, you made mistakes big time last night. You barred people from city council who had not engaged in any disruptive behavior whatsoever. You yourself admitted that fact on tape.
I didn't admit anything, Robert.
You didn't admit anything. No, I think you did. I think I got it on tape here. Yeah, well, you can shrug because you got a badge and a gun and false authority from the city, but at one point that, no doubt, will be stripped away from you, we hope.
By the state.
Yeah. Good. I'm glad you're up on your A's and B's. I wish you knew as much about human rights as you seem to know about specific details of that kind. I don't think so. You're not acting that way.
Acting according to duty and responsibility.
You threw a man against a pillar, Sergeant Crane, last night. You threw an HIV-positive man against a pillar on the ground, 9 feet. What are you talking about?
I guess I have more strength than I realized.
Yeah, I guess you did. I guess you did. Job, Sergeant. Get a job. An honest job that does not involve injuring other people. Get a job.
He's got a job.
He's got one. He's wandering the world about thugs.
Yeah, that was a walk down memory lane. Interestingly enough, David Minton Silva, who was running for city council that year, and his campaign kind of ended when Sergeant Crane threw him against a pillar. He sued successfully for, I think it was an undisclosed amount of money, again using Kate Wells as his attorney. Sergeant Crane retired with honors, and I'm not aware that he was ever disciplined for his behavior at that city council meeting. Tama had her baby and died, as I said, within about 4 or 5 months of when this recording was made. She had I think it was a heart clot of some sort. She was a young, beautiful homeless woman who was living outside, pregnant at the homeless vigil at City Hall, which went on month after month because the City Council, as it's doing now, refused to acknowledge and address the need of homeless people to sleep legally somewhere at night. And that's what this Right to Sleep Summit, of course, is going to be all about. The right to sleep at night, the need to organize a campaign of sufficient power and breadth that it will actually be visible and audible here in the city, across the state, who knows, maybe across the country. Come to the summit. For more information, you can also call 423-HUFF, or you can contact the folks who are running the summit, the Levitts, 425-3646. Again, this is a working summit. We're going to have people coming down from encampments, including Camp Paradise, Dignity Village, Seattle's Tent City 3, Isla Vista's Teepee Village or Home Sweet Camp Home Sweet Home, and other groups as well from Berkeley and from San Francisco. The Coalition on Homelessness is coming in from San Jose. It could be a very exciting event, and hopefully it'll lead to something. That's the most important thing I think we have here, or the most important hope I have. There's also been a recent harassment and crackdown on musicians on the mall. People are perhaps aware of that, but with the yuppie planter fencing and increased police patrolling. Here's a statement by Cosmic Chris about what's been happening with him.
What about your ticket? You were given a ticket for actually playing in front of the closed Jackson's Shoes about a month ago, right?
Yeah, they just wrote me a ticket for trespass, and I didn't even get any warning from the shoe people. They said that the sign, which has been up there forever already, was supposedly a good enough warning, but Mr. Jackson has given me permission in the past.
And has he changed his view, or?
Well, every time I get near that place, they always hustle him off to the back room. They're like, they don't want him to talk to me or something, and so I don't know.
Have you been inside to try to chat with him?
Well, one time I went in there for a minute just to try to let him know that, you know, I would never play there if they didn't want me to. But they were kind of cross, so I just took a hint. And,
the police and the Downtown Association are pressuring some merchants to, shall we say, encourage an inhospitable attitude towards musicians?
Most definitely. They've told Jackson's Shoes that they can allow whoever they wish to play in their alcove, and they told Borders Books that they don't have the right to make that decision. So that's two opposing policies.
I know you were harassed
for neighboring businesses, so I don't know how they can say one thing to Borders and one thing to Jackson's Shoes.
I understand Officer Klein told you couldn't play there, and then you sort of set him straight by having a manager talk to him, and then Sergeant McPhillips told you the same thing, and you tried to set him straight, but McPhillips went into Borders and told them that he needed to talk to a higher manager?
Yeah, he went ahead and lobbied for them to change their policy, which indeed happened, and they told me that they were no longer going to grant permission. I think he probably scared somebody in there, and that's what happened, and they lost their backbone. And then Officer Klein wrote me the ticket, like, right before that, and I just, you know.
We're talking about a second ticket or the Jackson shooting?
No, that would be the first ticket.
And what's, I know that Tom Noddy, Street Performers Guidelines founder, has offered you some support, but have you, in fact, decided to pay the bail, which is pretty, what is it, what's the bail on the ticket?
It's about $160, and no, I'm going to fight it all the way.
When's your court date?
I have to go in by the 4th of next month, 4th of April.
4th of May?
Or May, I mean, excuse me, and plead innocent, and then they'll set a court date, at which time I'm going to try and get as much media as I can possibly get to show up for that court date. At least, even if I lose, people will get a chance to see what actually does happen, and any precedences that are set, etc., will be, you know, seen by a greater amount of the guy.
Any so, further attacks on musicians that you've heard about, or on you, for that matter?
Not too much. There are no musicians. Nobody's here anymore. The Pacific Garden Mall is kind of a ghost town these days. There's a couple of guys that, you know, they've been pushed around and they just soon hang out in the street.
So actually, you haven't been playing downtown? You felt driven away, or?
Yeah, I just left. I left town completely for a couple of weeks, basically a week and a half or whatever.
You have a criminal instrument with you. Looks like two criminal instruments, tambourine and a guitar.
Yeah, I played today on Pacific Garden Mall, not in any alcoves, but, you know, and I was received really well. You know, I made some money, everybody had a good time, and that was it. No policemen bothered me, and everything was very good.
What about the idea of starting a musicians' union? I guess that's always been problematic because people are so individualistic and less disinclined to do that, but what...
Well, as a working musician on Pacific Garden Mall, I think it's not necessarily a really bad idea to model the music scene here and entertainment scene after the Harvard Square method, which involves getting a permit for, I think they're about $30 or $4 for the whole year. But that would weed out the incapable musicians or not so serious musicians.
Poor musicians, poor, like impoverished.
Yeah, but I think that if they're serious enough about their music, they'll scrape up the $30 or $40 and get the license. I think that's a reasonable idea.
So you're thinking of proposing that to the council?
In fact, it's been proposed before, so I'm sure they're mulling it over every year. And I think at this point that it probably is a good idea because it's just, otherwise it's too much hassle. You know, they need to really set down, you know, the past they didn't want any rules or guidelines so we could have freedom to move about. But at this point, I think if they're going to allow it at all, which they may not, then they need to set down some definite rules and guidelines so somebody like me doesn't come along and get a ticket for money because I didn't know that, you know, I wasn't allowed to play there anymore.
Well, isn't it sort of strange, though, to penalize other musicians for the bizarre behavior of police officers?
Well, yeah, or the bizarre behavior of other musicians, for that matter, or other bums, or whatever.
You think other musicians are responsible for Sergeant McPhillips' behavior? I mean...
Not really.
Yeah, see, that's what I'm concerned about. Thank you.
Yeah, that's, I think, just an excuse they use to cover their bullshit.
Right, that's what I'm thinking. We shouldn't really try to, you know, suggest a more restrictive scheme. We want some restrictions on police abuses, really.
Well, that's a great idea.
Yeah, well, let's get together and do it. Why not?
Thank you, sir.
And that just about wraps it up for Bathroom Spears Broadsides this evening. I'm going to do a little reading until Uncle Dennis shows up, but that should be pretty quick. He's usually on time, and he does a From the Cream to the Dregs show. That's coming up from 8 to 11. Not-so-familiar music from the 60s and 70s. Some good music. He knows how to spin a platter, Uncle Dennis does. Next show, which is going to be Sunday from 10 to 1:30, we've got some interesting stuff coming up. I'm going to do some more nostalgia hits like that exchange with former Sergeant Crane of the Santa Cruz Police Department and from some old line homeless hero activists, as I call them, such as Tama, and I think I regard Dan Hopkins as something of a hero. And, you know, we'll have some old lineups. You'll hear some favorites, some people you never heard before, some people you haven't heard of in years. We're also going to have in the studio, if they show up, Jerry Henry and Scott Rhodes. Jerry Henry is a minister who has been harassed out of the Rancho Del Mar Aptos Rancho Shopping Center. Scott Rhodes is an eloquent younger friend of his who writes regularly letters that for some reason appear in the Sentinel and, for example, in the Metro. And a response to one of Rhodes' letters appeared in this week's Metro called Toasted, Defending the Aptos Roasting Company. We're going to be talking about that directly and about the ethnic and homeless cleansing, or it's actually sort of economic and homeless cleansing that's going on both in Santa Cruz and in other places. It is 8 o'clock. It is time for From the Cream to the Dregs. I want to thank you for being with me, and we're going to hear a little bit of Just Kidding. I ain't just kidding about that as we roll out here and wait for Uncle Dennis to do some setting up. And stay with us. He's worth listening to. Particularly, he's got some certainly better taste in music than I do. I can tell you that right now. Between times, give a call to Huff, 423-HUFF, 423-4833. See you tomorrow on Peace Day, walking ocean and water streets with a picket sign. Amazing how many people like that idea. Don't just like it, come out and do it.
Masturbate and smash the stage.